We now present the Bible for Today of the Air, heard each week at this time and over the same station, sponsored by the Bible for Today Incorporated and the Dean Burgon Society with International Studios at 900 Park Avenue, Collingswood, New Jersey. This is Dr. D.A. Waite, Director of the Bible for Today, speaking. Welcome to weekly broadcast number 809. 809 weeks of weekly broadcasting, standing together with the Dean Burgon Society in defense of traditional Bible texts, including the traditional Masoretic Hebrew Old Testament text, the traditional received Greek New Testament text, and the traditional English text, the King James Bible. We're building Bible confidence in the King James Bible, because the King James Bible is the Bible for today. The order phone number is 1-800-JOHN-10-9. For other things, please call us on a question and answer phone, 856-854-4452, or email bft@biblefortoday.org. We'd like to hear from you. We'd like you to get our book called Defending the King James Bible, now in its 8th printing, 350 pages, hardback edition. Why not ask your bookstore to get Defending the King James Bible, or call us at 1-800-JOHN-10-9. Then have you ordered your defined King James Bible, published with the Bible for Today? Uncommon words in the King James are defined accurately in the footnotes. It's deluxe, genuine leather, choice of 12-point large print, 10-point medium print. Over 43,000 are in print and distributed worldwide. Why not order your copy for yourself and your friends, the defined King James Bible? Also, we're starting a new series of broadcasts today and this week, and we're offering free and postpaid Foes of the King James Bible Refuted. Foes of the King James Bible Refuted. 303 issues that we differ with the John Ankerberg Show on, a total of 150-160 pages, yours for the asking, a total of $13 value, free and postpaid, Foes of the King James Bible Refuted. We're going to be talking about this book, and want you to get it, follow along with it. It answers just about every objection that we have, that people have, at least, against the King James Bible. Start with the foreword. First of all, the book called Foes of the King James Bible Refuted is important because of the various arguments that have been set forth against both the King James Bible and the Hebrew and Greek texts that underlie it. Such arguments have arisen in the past, they're arising in the present, and they'll arise in the future. Here in this book, and the one we're going to talk about on the broadcast, are refutations of some of the leading foes of the Grand Old Version. That's our King James Bible. These include a television personality, a spokesman for the New International Version, a spokesman for the New American Standard Version, a spokesman for the New King James Version, a professor from Dallas Theological Seminary, that's my school, by the way, and an anti-King James Bible author. Their arguments aren't new. They've been around ever since the days of Bishop Brooke Frost Westcott and Professor Fenton John Anthony Hort and their forerunners. They began in 1881 with their new Greek text. Now look at the principles discussed in this book and as we listen to it on the radio, rather than at the personalities involved. Principles are what we're after. There are many additional things that could be said on any given subject touched upon in this book. These answers are offered in somewhat abbreviated form so that there can be an interaction with the subject matter without further delay. This book is indexed for the convenience of the readers, so that they can turn immediately to any subject or person that might interest them. There's also a scripture index to enable the readers to find information on the various verses that are mentioned. And so this is going to be a useful book to you, my friends, and we want you to get it and simply ask free and postpaid, Foes of the King James Bible Refuted. Foes of the King James Bible Refuted. Now, who all is on this book? Where are they? This is a John Ankerberg show. He was the host of it. And although he may have some interesting things on other subjects, he's dead wrong when he attacks our King James Bible and the Greek text that underlies it. Kenneth Barker was on that telecast. NIV Committee Chairman. There's a man, Don Wilkins, New American Standard Version Committee. Arthur Farstad, he's dead now, but he was representing the New King James Committee, New King James Version Committee. Dan Wallace, Dallas Seminary Professor. Then James White, who's the author of many different books, and certainly one that we differ with the most is the King James Bible Controversy. He was on that telecast as well. Well, here's some introductory comments for you to consider. First of all, what this is, that is this book, and what we're going to be talking about on the broadcast. This is an analysis of the John Ankerberg television show. They called it, Which English Translation of the Bible Should Christians Use? It was aired in part during the summer and fall of 1996. Some of the telecasts were rerun the summer of 1997, as well, according to a report that we received. In fact, just in 2002, they ran the programs again, we were told. And though not all the material was used on these programs, the television programs, according to those who listened, the entire debate on this subject was preserved on videotape. It was offered to John Ankerberg's audience together with the script of these programs. Now, why was this book made? Foes of the King James Bible defended. Well, the following analysis and refutation is taken from the official John Ankerberg script. That's a solid thing of what we're talking about. We did not misquote anybody. We took our comments from his script that he printed out and sent around the country to those who requested it. I received, I think, 2 copies of that script, and I used the script. Since some of the prominent leaders of the new versions were guests of the program, I feel it's important to answer some of their errors, both in fact and opinion, so that those of us who use and favor the King James Bible might be prepared to answer such objections when we read them or hear them offered in some other way from other people. Now, how did the book come to pass? We're offering it to you free and postpaid, 160 pages, and it's a $13 value. How did it come to pass? Well, the entire refutation, Foes of the King James Bible Refuted, is offered, first of all, on 9 2-hour cassettes. 9 of them, 2 hours each, 18 hours of talking about it. This is BFT number 110 to 118 from the Bible for Today. It can be received. Mrs. R.E. Cosby took the 18 hours of material found in these 9 cassettes and typed out my responses to key questions raised by the opponents of the King James Bible. She put all these on computer disks so that I could edit it, and made this booklet and other things for others to read. I appreciate the many hours of work that Mrs. Cosby did on this subject. Well, how is the Ankerberg script arranged? Well, the script of the video telecast was printed by John Ankerberg on 55 pages, 8.5 by 11 paper. 5 pages of glossary were added to this script to the very end, made a total of 60 pages in all. And the 8 recorded programs are found as follows in the script. Program number 1, pages 1 to 6. Program number 2, from the script, pages 6 to 12. Program number 3, pages 12 to 17. Program number 4, pages 17 to 24. Program number 5, pages 24 to 31. Program number 6, pages 31 to 36. Program 7 and 8, pages 36 to 55. Then the glossary, pages 1 to 5 at the end of the script. So that's how this script of John Ankerberg was outlined. Now, what method is used in this study? Well, my method in analyzing the major points of these video telecasts will be to take up the program and make comments on the important points of each. I'll give a brief summary of the point made by John Ankerberg's guests, and then I'll give my comments. All page numbers refer to the official John Ankerberg script. What about the participants on the program, and how long did each one talk? Well, to figure out how long each participant talked, I took an approximate measure in inches of space that each one took in the script. That's how I arrived at it. And since John Ackerberg told me that they only take 20 minutes or talk 20 minutes on each of his 30-minute programs, and there were eight programs, that's what he told me, about 20 minutes is all they have, then the rest is commercials. I figured 8 times 20 minutes is equal to 160 minutes in all for the entire script. Then I converted the inches of space into percentages of time and arrived at approximate minutes each speaker spoke. And then the ones that have a minus by their names, you'll see if you get the book, call us or write us at 1-800-JOHN-10-9. The ones with the minus after the names were against the King James Bible and the Textus Receptus that underlies it. The ones with a plus after the names were for the King James Bible and the Textus Receptus that underlies it. Here are the names and the frequencies of which they spoke. Of course, John Ackerberg, the host, he was the giant of the serials, as they say, the one that took 168 inches out of the total, 160 minutes. It's inches. That's 26% of the time. That's 42 minutes he talked. James White, I don't know why he was on there. I guess he wants to be on everything that's imaginable against the King James Bible. He took 112 inches of space. That's 17% of the time. 27 minutes. He was number two man. Number three, from a standpoint of minutes of speech on these telecasts, was Dan Wallace from Dallas Seminary. He took 88 inches of space, 14% of the time. That would be about 22 minutes. The fourth man, longest speaker, would be Kenneth Barker, 76 inches of space, 12% of the time. That's 18 minutes. Dr. Samuel Gipp, 67 inches of space. He's number 5 out of 9. You see, there were 6 men that were against his Bible, 3 were for it. Samuel took 10% of the time, 16 minutes. Number 6, Jules, he was for the King James Bible. By the way, Samuel Gipp was a stand-in for Dr. Peter Ruckman, and was trained, I understand, by Ruckman in his school. But Joseph Chambers is for the King James. He took 54 inches of space, 8%, or 13 minutes. Arthur Frastad, 42 inches of space, 6% of the time, to about 10 minutes. Don Wilkins of the New American Standard Version, 28 inches of space, about 4% of the time, talked about 6 minutes. And finally, in ninth place, Dr. Thomas Strauss, for the King James Bible, took 21 inches of space, 3% of the time, only was able to talk about 5 minutes. And so the 9 speakers, 656 inches of space on the script, 160 minutes altogether. Well, let me give you an assessment now of the fairness of the King James Bible side of the debate versus the 6% or 6 participants against the King James Bible. You know, John Ackerberg wanted me to be on the program, asked me to be there, and I said, well, the first question I asked, I wasn't on there, and I'll tell you a little bit later why. I wasn't on the program, but I asked him, is this going to be fair? He said, oh, yes, this will be fair. King James Bible versus the opponents. My friends, that was a falsehood that he told to me. That's a big lie. It was not fair at all. According to the inches of space, the anti-King James Bible, anti-Textus Receptus men took up 514 inches of space. That's 79% of the time, 126 minutes out of 160. Pro-King James Bible people? Just 142 inches of space, 21% of the time, 34 minutes. Now that's almost 80% of the time for the people against the King James to 20% of the ones that were in favor of it. I ask you, is that fair? As I said, in spite of the so-called fairness that John Ackerberg said would be on the show, the time was not fair. 79% against the King James Bible, 21% in favor. Well, let's take up the issues Chapter 1 talks about program number 1. It's from the script, pages 1 to 6. As I said, there's 303 issues that we take up. And here's issue number 1. John Anker Berg, the host, he was the host of the program. He asked which one of the versions, whether the New International Version, the American Standard Version, New King James Version, or the King James Bible, which was the most accurate. And as the host of the program, it's understandable he took the greatest number of inches of the script. He ranked first out of the 9 in total number of inches, 168 out of 656. That's 26% of the time, which is about 42 minutes out of the 160 minutes in these telecasts and videos. What's my comment in answer to John Ankerberg's question, which is the most accurate? Well, you know my comment, those of you who listen to this broadcast for very long. The King James Bible is the most accurate English Bible that we have. It has superior texts of Hebrew and Greek. It has superior translators. It has superior translation technique. And it has superior theology. Now, that was my answer to that question, and there's no question in my mind as to the truth of it. Well, it's issue number 2. Again, John Ankerberg took no sides on which was the most accurate. He just didn't say which one. He just threw out the question. What's my comment? Which side of the issue does John Ankerberg come down on? Which version of the scripture does John Ankerberg use? What version would he say is the most accurate? Though he didn't say it here, in another article appearing in his newsletter that he writes, he opposed the King James Bible on many areas. I'm sure he would say that either the New International Version, the New American Standard Version, the New King James Version, or some other version other than the King James Bible was the most accurate. Now, we've answered his opposition to the King James Bible as it appeared in his newsletter. He attacked both the King James Bible and especially the New Testament Greek text that underlies it. And this answer is available if you're interested in it. It's BFT number 95 to 98. Those were radio broadcasts that I made. They're available from the Bible for Today. You can call us at 1-800-JOHN-10-9 and get these. Are 16 radio broadcasts. They're contained on 4 2-hour tapes, audio tapes. All right, let's go to issue number 3 out of 303. On page 5 of our book, John Ankerberg said this: I'd like to start with you, Dr. Samuel Gipp. So he's going to start with Dr. Samuel Gipp. What's my comment? First, as I said, John Ankerberg turned to Dr. Samuel C. Gipp. Dr. Gipp is one of the 3 that stands for the King James Bible. But Dr. Gipp takes a different position than I take on some of these areas, as we'll see. He follows Dr. Peter Ruckman's position on the King James Bible. He was asked by John Ankerberg to be on the program because Dr. Ruckman, for one reason or another, turned down his request. He really wanted Dr. Ruckman. He was on the program as a representative of Ruckman's position. And this is one of the reasons why I did not choose to appear on the program. Dr. John Ankerberg asked me to be one of the participants, and after careful questioning of him at length, I at first agreed to be on the program. He told me that Dr. Gipp wouldn't appear. It would be an honest and objective discussion of the relative accuracy and worth of the King James, New King James, New American Standard, and New International, with the leading proponents of each presenting their positions. I was in favor of that. Within a week, however, Dr. Ankerberg had agreed, after he had agreed to this format, Dr. Gipp would not be on the program. He sent me a letter announcing that Dr. Gipp would be on the program. I then wrote John Ankerberg canceling my appearance. He called me and told me that his board of directors insisted that a representative of the Ruckman position be on the program. From this, I could see that it was going to be a hatchet job against the King James Bible. It would be putting all the King James Bible men in the same position as Peter Ruckman's position, which is extreme in many areas of the King James Bible battle. I could see also that much of the time on the program would be spent in refuting these extreme positions rather than being able to attack the textual errors, translational errors, and theological errors of these three versions that were represented: NIV, New American Standard, and New King James Version. As I noted and mentioned before, Dr. Gitt ranked 5th out of the 9 in total number of inches in the entire script, 67 inches out of a possible 656 inches. It's about 10% of the time, which translates into only about 16 minutes of the 160-minute total. But he spoke out frequently. In some cases, at least, I would agree with what he was saying. But there are many other cases, as we will see in this report, where he was seriously in error. Well, let's go to issue number 4 out of 303, talking about the foes of the King James Bible refuted. My title on this issue 4 is Greek or English Source. Greek or English Source. John Ankerberg asked Dr. Gitt why he thought the KJV was a perfect translation, and why, when people translate the Bible into other languages, he suggests they use the King James Bible rather than the Greek text. Now, here's my comment. I do not agree with the premise if this is Dr. Gitt's position. I believe that the premise should be, if you know the Greek and Hebrew language, you should compare those languages with the languages into which you're translating. That's obvious. If you don't know Greek and Hebrew, and you're trying to translate into some foreign language, the King James Bible in English is certainly the most accurate one to go by. I would agree with that. But try always to compare it with the Hebrew and Greek that underlies our King James Bible. That's my position on that. Let's go to issue number 5 out of 303. I title this King James Bible or Textus Receptus. Dr. Gibbs said, you're going to find places where the King James Bible doesn't agree even with the Textus Receptus or something like that. So I believe the King James Bible is the preserved Word of God. End of quote. What's my comment on this issue number 5? Well, he's favoring the King James Bible over against the Textus Receptus Greek text that underlies it. This is dead wrong. This is false. It's the erroneous position of Peter Ruckman to take the English King James Bible and correct the Hebrew and Greek text on which it's based. In my considered opinion, this can be none other than heresy. You can never correct the original text of Hebrew and Greek that God authored, that God wrote, and is preserved with English, Spanish, French, or any other translation. You can't correct it with these other translations. This is one of the very many heresies with which John Ankerberg and the others in the program wanted to tarnish all of us with. All of us who hold the King James Bible. He wanted to imply that all of us felt that the English superseded the Greek or Hebrew. He wanted to make it look like all of us who hold to that Bible believe, as Dr. Gibb, that the King James Bible can disagree with the Textus Receptus. The Textus Receptus is the Greek text from which the King James Bible was taken. Dr. Gipp could also have said that he believes that the King James Bible corrects even the Masoretic Hebrew text from which it was taken and translated. I believe the King James Bible is an excellent translation. In fact, I believe it's the only accurate translation from the Greek and Hebrew text that underlie it. But you cannot corrupt and change the Greek and Hebrew text and correct it with the English King James Bible or any other language version. This is illogical, it's unscriptural, and should never be done. I believe that those Hebrew manuscripts that underlie the King James Bible have been preserved by God Himself in keeping with His promise in Psalm 12, 6 and 7, and many other verses. Now, that very thing right there that I just said is what sets us apart from these famous four fundamentalist institutions. that don't agree that God even promised to preserve His word, Hebrew and Greek words, much less kept the promise. I've said before in the broadcast, I'm talking about Bob Jones University, I'm talking about Detroit Baptist Seminary, Central Baptist Seminary, Calvary Baptist Seminary. Do not believe God even promised to preserve His Hebrew and Greek words. But I believe that He has. He's promised in many verses He's going to preserve them from this generation and forever. This is called the Masoretic Traditional Hebrew Text, the Old Testament text, edited by Ben Chaim in the 1520s. Since, as I believe, God preserved His original Hebrew words by means of these accurate copies, these copies give us the very words that God gave to the original writers of the Old Testament, such as Moses, David, Samuel, and others. In the same manner, I believe the Greek manuscripts that underlie our King James Bible have been preserved by God Himself, in keeping with His promise in Psalm 12, 6, and 7, many other verses. This is called the traditional Greek text, or the text of Receptus, or the received text. It was taken from Beza's 5th edition, 1598. Since, as I believe, God has preserved His original Greek words by means of these accurate copies, these copies give us the very words that God gave to the original writers of the New Testament, such as Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Paul, Peter, James, and others. As I said before, this is the thing that sets apart this broadcast from many of the famous four fundamentalist schools and institutions: Bob Jones University, Detroit Baptist Seminary, Calvary Baptist Seminary, Central Baptist Seminary. They, in their writings, do not believe God even promised to preserve His Hebrew and Greek words for us today. I believe He has promised, and I believe He has preserved those words in the Greek and Hebrew texts that underlie the King James Bible. He promised it. I believe He's done it. And the King James Bible, 1611, was translated accurately, professionally, reliably, in a sound theological manner from those original language manuscripts. We can't change those original language manuscripts by the King James Bible and try to correct them that way and so that they give us some advanced revelation. This advanced revelation argument is Peter Ruckman's, and it's wrong. The time's up for now. Remember the words of our Lord Jesus Christ in John 10:9. He said, "I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture." Write us. Bible for Today, Collingswood, New Jersey. Call us on the order phone, 1-800-JOHN-10-9. Ask your bookstore for Defending the King James Bible, the Defiant King James Bible. Get your free copy of Foes of the King James Bible Refuted. Call us at 1-800-JOHN-10-9. Dr. D.A. Waite, signing off and reminding you, you can have confidence in the King James Bible because the King James Bible is the Bible for today. So until next broadcast, don't miss it. We'd like to hear from you. Why not give us a toll-free call right now, 1-800-JOHN-10-9, or email bft@biblefortoday.org. Well, my friends, we're going to continue next week with issue number 6 out of 303. We're talking about the foes of the King James Bible Refuted. We're talking about the answer to the John Ankerberg telecasts and videos on this subject. It's free and postpaid to you. We want you to get it. Simply call us at 1-800-JOHN-10-9. We'll send you Foes of the King James Bible Refuted. We want to continue this discussion. We hope you'll stay tuned next week, same time, same station. Until then, so long. We now present the Bible for Today of the Air, heard each week at the same time and over the same station, sponsored by the Bible for Today Incorporated and the Dean Burgon Society, with international studios at 900 Park Avenue, Collingswood, New Jersey. This is Dr. D.A. Waite, director of the Bible for Today, speaking. Welcome to weekly broadcast number 810. 810 weeks of weekly broadcasting, building Bible confidence. Confidence in the King James Bible, because the King James Bible is the Bible for today. The order phone number is 1-800-JOHN-10-9. For other things, please call us on our question and answer phone, 856-854-4452, or email bft@bibletoday.org. We represent the Dean Burgon Society in defense of traditional Bible texts, including the traditional Masoretic Hebrew Old Testament text, traditional Received Greek New Testament text, and the traditional English text, the King James Bible. We want you to get our books. Give us a call at 1-800-JOHN-109 or email bft@bibletoday.org. For the question and answer phone, you can call us at 856-854-4452. We'd like to hear from you. We'd like you to get our book called Defending the King James Bible. Now in its eighth printing, 356 pages, that's standing for the King James Bible. Hardback edition. Might I ask your bookstore to get Defending the King James Bible or call us 1-800-JOHN-109. Then have you ordered your Defined King James Bible, published with the Bible for Today? Uncommon words are defined accurately in the King James. It's deluxe, genuine leather, not another Bible like it in the world. It's 12-point large print or 10-point medium print. 43,000 are in print and distributed worldwide. Why not order yourself a copy and one for your friends, the Defined King James Bible? Then, as we mentioned to you in the last broadcast, we've begun a new series, and we're offering free and postpaid a book for you, a $13 value, $9 plus $4 shipping, called Foes of the King James Bible Refuted. Every one of the leading version leaders are on this John Ankerberg telecast and video. We answer their arguments in this book, 303 issues we take with them, and we want you to get it. $13 value, free and postpaid, Foes of the King James Bible Refuted. The black cover with a silver knight with drawn sword on the cover on this book. You'll want to see it, want to get it. We've been talking about it, and we're going to continue to talk about it in the months ahead. All right, we're on issue number 6. Issue number 6 out of 303 issues that we're going to discuss. John Ankerberg asked Dr. Gipp, and remember Dr. Gipp is the Peter Ruckman representative. He says, if a guy is in Russia and he really wants to get to the truth of the Word of God, would he have to learn English? Dr. Gipp answered, yes. That's from the Ankerberg script, pages 1 and 2. Did you get the question? He's in Russia. He wants to know the truth of the Word of God. Does he have to learn English? Dr. Gipp, the Ruckman representative, says yes. What's my comment on this situation? Well, I simply say this position, once again, represents serious error. This is the position of Dr. Ruckman and Dr. Gipp and their followers. They believe that the King James Bible in English is the only language that God has preserved and the only thing that should be used today. Their argument goes something like this. God wrote the Old Testament in one language, Hebrew. He wrote the New Testament in one language, Greek. Today, since English is the predominant language of the world, it's the English language. And so the English King James Bible should be used. And for this reason, Dr. Gipp said that the man in Russia would have to learn English to get the truth of the Word of God. Now, this implication is that he would have to use the King James Bible rather than the accurate translation, than an accurate translation into the Russian language. This is a strange answer. I don't agree with it. Romans 16, verse 26 says of the gospel, which was a hidden mystery in the Old Testament, it says this, but now is made manifest, and by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known to all nations for the obedience of faith. Now this verse, my friends, implies that the scripture, which are made known to all nations, should be in their own heart language or mother tongue, so that they can have the obedience of faith. I believe that God is interested in having His words translated accurately into the languages of every person in this world. Now, Samuel Gipp does not believe that, apparently. He says if you are in Russian and you want to know the Word of God, you have to learn English. The translation must be taken with the proper Hebrew and Greek texts. That's true in every language of the world. Not false texts like the American Bible Society and the United Bible Societies have been doing, Wycliffe Bible translators have been doing must be the proper Hebrew and Greek text. The translators must be proficient, professional, and able, such as our King James Bible translators were. The technique of translation must have verbal equivalence, and the forms of the word equivalence, formal equivalence, wherever possible. And then the theology must be sound and accurate as well. But God does not restrict His words and His truth to the English language. Do you understand the error of Samuel Gipp when he says, in order to know the truth of the Word of God, you have to know English? This is a serious heresy and error. It's Ruckmanism. And Samuel Gipp is a mirror of Peter Ruckman's false position. We want God's words of Hebrew and His words of Greek translated accurately into every language of the world. That's what our King James Bible has done. They've translated into the English language the words of Hebrew and the words of Greek accurately, the only accurate translation in the English language. Sad to say, this is not presently done by the United Bible Societies, as we've said before. It's not done by the American Bible Society. It's not done by the Wycliffe translators or similar groups. These groups are erroneous in their use of the text. They don't have the right Hebrew text. They don't have the right Greek text. They have erroneous techniques of translation and erroneous translators, and they result in erroneous and heretical theology. Now, do you remember the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2? God the Holy Spirit performed a miracle on the 12 apostles that were there. Here the Jews were gathered from every corner of the globe. Why were they gathered? It was the Feast of Pentecost. They needed the gospel of Christ, every one of these nations. There were at least 12 different languages, someone has figured, that were present at the day of Pentecost from all over the then known world. All these Jews were there. And these Jews had to receive the gospel of our Savior in their own language. Am I right? They couldn't learn Hebrew if they didn't know it as their mother tongue. They had to hear it in their own language. Now, God did not make those people learn, as I say, the Hebrew language, the language of the Old Testament. He did not make them learn Greek, the language of the New Testament. He performed a miracle of languages or tongues. That's what tongues means, languages. Glossa is language. Also means tongue, but it's language. He permitted each one of these 12 apostles to preach and to teach in the 12 different languages of the people who were gathered there on that feast day of Pentecost. They preached the gospel in those languages. Why? So that the people could understand in their own languages. God performed that miracle that the gospel could go out. People wondered how they heard the gospel in their own language. I think that that illustrates that God wants His truth, His words, accurately translated into all the languages of the world, including those that were gathered on the day of Pentecost. Now, when Samuel Gipp says that English is the only way to go, and I'm for my English Bible. Believe me, that's my Bible. When he says that's the only way to go, and that the English corrects and even gives advanced revelation, that's what he really believes, and at times even contradicts the Hebrew and Greek, we believe that this is total heresy. Total heresy. God's words in Hebrew and Greek are the very words that God spoke to the original writers. It gave to us through accurate copies, preserved for us down to the present age. And I believe we have these preserved Hebrew and Greek words in the text that underlie our King James Bible. We have them here. We sell them in the Bible for Today ministry. You can get them if you want the Hebrew Masoretic text that underlies the King James Bible. We have it. If you want the Greek text, the text Receptus, that underlies the King James Bible, we have that too. We have it. We believe that God has preserved these words, contrary to these famous four fundamentalist institutions that say He hasn't preserved His words, hasn't even promised to preserve His words. Again, what are the famous four? They've been out on telecasts and videotapes and books. I'm talking about Bob Jones University, Greenville, South Carolina. I'm talking about Detroit Baptist Seminary in Detroit, Michigan. I'm talking about Central Baptist Seminary in the Minneapolis, Minnesota area. I'm talking about Calvary Baptist Seminary, Lancaster, Lansdale, Pennsylvania. These famous four institutions do not believe God even promised to preserve his Hebrew and Greek words. Just the message, just the thoughts, the ideas, not the words. I differ with that completely. God did promise, and he did preserve those words. And we have them. To say that only the word that God has preserved for us is in the English language and not preserved in Hebrew and Greek, and that everyone who wants to know the word of God must learn English, is a blatant heresy and perversion of truth. Let's go on to issue number 7 out of 303. The question of inspired and preserved. Inspired and preserved. Dr. Don Wilkins from the New American Standard Version, NASV Committee, said that Dr. Gipp takes it on faith that the King James Bible is inspired. Actually, Dr. Gipp stated, quote, "I don't call it the inspired Word of God. I call it the preserved Word of God," end of quote. Well, as noted above, Don Wilkins ranked 8th out of the 9th in total number of inches of the entire script. That's 28 inches out of possible 656. That's 4% of the time, which translates into only about 6 minutes of the 160-minute total. Now, this question is page 1 of the script. What's my answer as to what inspired or inspiration means versus preserved and preservation? Now, this is controversial, but we must answer it. We must talk about it. The word inspiration occurs only one time in the Greek New Testament. It's found only in 2 Timothy 3:16. The Greek word means God breathed. In fact, these five words, given by inspiration of God, these five words are translated from just one Greek word. It means God breathed. What did God breathe out? God breathed out his inerrant, infallible words of the Old Testament in Hebrew, a few verses in Aramaic. God breathed out his inerrant, infallible words of the New Testament in Greek. That's what he inspired. That's what he breathed out. This is the primary and the only scriptural meaning of the word inspiration. He did not breathe out languages such as Spanish, did he? That's man who translated. He did not breathe out French, did he? That's what man has done to translate. He did not breathe out German, or Chinese, or Japanese, or Russian, or even English. These versions of the Bible are translations. They're not revelations. They all came to us as translations from the preserved copies of what was originally God-breathed or breathed out and inspired, the infallible and inerrant Greek and Hebrew words. That's where they came from. We must be sure of that. Now let's go to issue number 8. Issue number 8 out of 303. Don Wilkins and Samuel Gipp were arguing about inspiration and preservation. Samuel Gipp said, "He, that is God, said it was preserved," end of quote. I suppose he's referring to the King James Bible. It was preserved. Well, that's my comment on this. My comment on this is as follows. God never said his words were to be preserved, with a capital P, preserved in English, or in other languages, other than those in which they were originally written, Hebrew, Aramaic, and Greek. Samuel Gipp referred to Psalm 12, 6, and 7. He wrongly interpreted these words to refer to the King James Bible. Samuel Gipp referred to this, and in the English language, that's what he said. The promised preservation, on the other hand, in the Psalm 12, 6, and 7, refers to the Hebrew words of the Old Testament, and by analogy, to the Greek words of the New Testament. Here's what Psalm 12, 6, and 7 says. The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified 7 times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. End of quote. It is not the English words, the French words, the Spanish words, the Italian words, or other language words that God promised to preserve. These languages were not even in existence when Psalm 12, 6, and 7 was written. We've got to come to the bottom of this, my friend. You may have been taught that these refer to the English words, or Spanish or French. No. It's true that the King James Bible translated the preserved words of Hebrew and Greek by rendering them accurately into English, thus preserving them in that sense. But the preservation, capital P preservation of the words mentioned in Psalm 12, 6, and 7, strictly speaking, refers to the Old Testament Hebrew words and by extension, the New Testament Greek words, not to English words. As I say, the King James Bible accurately preserves, small p preservation, the Hebrew and Greek words, every one of them, preserves them accurately in the English language, in the small p sense of preservation. Let's go to issue number 9 out of 303. Dr. Gipp repeated that God was preserving his words in English rather than in Latin or in other languages. That's from the John Ankerberg script, page 2. What's my comment about the preservation? Notice that John Ankerberg is what he's doing on the program. He had promised me on his word that if I were to come on the program, I would represent the King James Bible position. He would have representatives from the New International Version, the New American Standard Version, New King James Version. We would all defend our own position and our own versions. We would discuss the issues on a high level. There wouldn't be any lightning rods or an attack on the Ruckman position because it would not be present. There would be a solid argumentation on the basis of evidence. And on that basis, I agreed to be on the program, as I mentioned before. Now, John Ankerberg promised me that Dr. Gipp would not be on the program. I agreed to come on, and then the next day a letter came to me saying that Dr. Ankerberg was invited and had invited Dr. Gipp to be on the broadcast. John Ankerberg went back on his word to me. I wrote him a letter saying that I could no longer be on the broadcast because he had lied to me and had gone back on his word. He had not done what he originally told me that he would do. I told him that I knew what he was going to do. He was going to help to smear with Samuel Gipp's and Dr. Ruckman's false positions everyone who stands for the King James Bible. Now, this is not, in my opinion, honest. However much it might help to attract an audience, my prediction to John Ankerberg as to what would happen has come to pass. John Ankerberg had Samuel Gipp to lead off the discussion. Not just take a back seat, but to lead off the discussion in a successful attempt to bring out some silly argument which the other anti-King James Bible men could then move in like sharks after Samuel Gipp and after the King James Bible. This is why I did not want to be a part of the program. I didn't want to partake in a knockdown, drag-out fight, which is now how it's turned out. A knockdown, drag-out fight on Ruckmanism, as if that's the only King James Bible position that there is. Well, issue number 10 out of 303, I call this Preserving the Bible, What Language? Dr. Gipp talked of Hebrews being the language of the Old Testament, Greek being the language of the New Testament, and English being the language of the modern world. Hence, preserving the Bible in English was the most important today. What's my answer to this? Well, here Dr. Gipp talked about only preserving the Bible in English, not in any other language. This is a false position. It's against the Word of God. I've commented in detail and issue number 7 and 8 and 9. This is from script page number 2. Well, let's go on to issue number 11 out of 303. John Ankerberg then turned to Thomas Strauss, Dr. Strauss, who I recommended to be on the broadcast, by the way, to take my place. And he said, you would take a little different position than Samuel. Would you tell us what that is? What's my comment? Dr. Strauss is a member of the Advisory Council. Now he's a member of the Executive Committee of our Dean Burgon Society. He's a man who knows the Greek text and stands with us in this area. That's who Dr. Strauss was. Issue number 12 out of 303, Dr. Strauss spoke briefly about the Authorized Version, reflecting the providential preservation of God through the original languages, the Masoretic Text and Textus Receptus. That's a position of faith. That's from script page number 2. What's my comment in this regard? If you had a script you'd notice that Dr. Thomas Strauss, who takes a strong, solid stand, as I do, on this King James Bible issue, did not get anywhere nearly as long to speak as Samuel Gipp, or as long as James White. Though James White had nothing to do with any of these three versions, whose leaders are on the program, nevertheless, he was permitted to speak second, only in length, to John Ankerberg, the host. We've said before, James White ranked second out of nine in a total number of inches in the entire script, 112 inches out of a possible 656, 17% of the time, translates into about 27 minutes of the 160 minutes total on the videos that were available. On the other hand, as we also noted above, Dr. Strauss ranked ninth out of nine in total number of inches in the entire script, 21 inches out of 656. Only 3% of the time, which translates to only about 5 minutes of the total 160 minutes. Dr. Strauss had about 4 inches of type on this occasion. This right here, this answer to what he says, just 4 inches. John Ankerberg cut him off. Dr. Strauss had much more to say, but he was trying to make it straight. But John Ankerberg interrupted him. It's evident that John Ankerberg's purpose was not to let the sound position defending the King James Bible and its underlying Hebrew and Greek text be explained carefully to his audience. He only wanted to smear and berate the position of Samuel Gipp and Peter Ruckman. That's sad to me. That is sad. Let's go on to issue number 13 out of 303. Issue number 13, I call this, which manuscripts? A ton of others. A ton of others. John Ankerberg asked Dr. Strauss, how did you know that those, that is the Masoretic Hebrew and Texas Receptus Greek, are the superior ones that God preserved because there's a ton of others? End of quote. That's from the script, page 3. That's what John Ankerberg said, a ton of others. What's my comment? I would have answered this as follows. Tons of manuscripts other than those that stand for the King James Bible? I would have confronted John Ankerberg right up front. I would have said something like this. Do you realize, Mr. Ankerberg, that of the 5,255 manuscripts, that is 81 papyrus, 267 uncials, 2,764 cursives, 2,143 lectionary manuscripts of the Greek language that we have as of 1967, according to the Kurt Allen in Munster, Germany, an arch enemy of the text Receptus, do you realize that less than 1% go along with the text that you support? This is the B and Aleph, Vatican and Sinai, and about 43 other manuscripts. Do you realize that there are about 5,210 manuscripts that go along with the King James Bible, over 99% of the evidence? That's what I would have told if I were on that broadcast, if he'd let me talk. How can John Ankerberg say that there are, quote, a ton of other manuscripts? 1% is not a ton, my friend. For further documentation on the numbers, you can see page 56 in our fifth printing of my book, Defending the King James Bible. It's available, Bible for Today, number 1594P. It's available. You can see the manuscripts and the percentages and the numbers. Now, those who follow the Westcott-Hort false Greek text, now called the Nestle-Aland text or United Bible Society text, the critical text, use basically manuscript B, the Vatican, and Aleph, the Sinai, and about 43 others. Where is their ton? A ton is a huge number, a great weight. What good would that ton do, since they don't bother with over 99% of the evidence? Less than 1% is all they use. What would a ton do? That's a question I have to ask. Let's go on to issue number 14 out of 303. I call this the NIV, Is It the Best-Selling Bible? John Ankerberg talking with Dr. Kenneth Barker of the New International Version Committee. He said this, quote, "And so by actual cash register counts right now, it, that is the New International Version, is by far the best-selling Bible going." That's from the script, page number 3. What's my comment? Well, do you consider the New International Version a Bible? That's the first thing. I don't consider it a Bible. It's a version. It's filled and loaded with paraphrase, with perversion, regardless of cash register counts and receipts. I found in my study of the New International Version 6,653 examples of dynamic equivalency. Because I'd already taken 2 years and 8 months, and by my computer was filling up, I stopped counting at the 6,653 examples. There are thousands and thousands more. These were examples of adding to God's words, or subtracting from God's words, or changing God's words in some other manner. This is a perversion of a Bible, not a Bible. This is 284 pages of research that I did on this New International Version. It's available as BFT number 1749P, 1749P, from the Bible for Today. You can get it. It's available. It's yours for the. We'll tell you how to get it. You simply call us 1-800-JOHN-10-9. Now, my friends, when he said that NIV is the leading seller, that's not true either. He counted that, and people count that from some of the major sellers of the Bible. But thousands and tens of thousands and millions extra and more of the King James Bible are sold, being printed by other publishers and wonderful printers of the King James Bible. So that's a factual error as far as the total receipts. Well, time's up for now. Remember the words of our Lord Jesus Christ in John 10:9. He said, "I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture." Write us. Bible for Today, Collingswood, New Jersey. Call us on the order phone, 1-800-JOHN-10-9. Ask your bookstore for Defending the King James Bible, the Defiant King James Bible. Get your free copy of Foes of the King James Bible Refuted, 1-800-JOHN-10-9. Dr. D.A. Waite, signing off and reminding you, you can have confidence in the King James Bible because the King James Bible is the Bible for today. So long until next podcast. Don't miss it. If you'd like to hear from you, give us a toll-free call, 1-800-JOHN-10-9, or email bft@bibleforToday.org. Well, my friends, I hope you'll stay tuned for next week. Same time, same station. More of these issues. We're going to start on this issue number 15 out of 303. Foes of the King James Bible Refuted. These are important issues, every one of which is being raised even today. I want you to join us, same time, same station. Until then, so long. We now present the Bible for Today of the Air, heard each week at the same time and over the same station, sponsored by the Bible for Today Incorporated and the Dean Burgot Society, with international studios at 900 Park Avenue, Collingswood, New Jersey. This is Dr. D.A. Waite, Director of the Bible for Today, speaking. Welcome to Weekly Broadcasting number 811. Weekly Broadcast number 811, 811 days, or weeks rather, of Weekly Broadcasting, standing together with the Dean Burgon Society in defense of traditional Bible texts, including the traditional Masoretic Hebrew Old Testament text, the traditional received Greek New Testament text, and the traditional English text, the King James Bible. We're building Bible confidence. Confidence in the King James Bible because the King James Bible is the Bible for today. The order phone number is 1-800-JOHN-10-9. For other things, please call us on our question and answer phone, 856-854-4452, or email bft@bibleforToday.org. We'd like to hear from you. We'd like you to get our book called Defending the King James Bible. Now in its 8th printing, 350 pages, hardback edition, might I ask your book to get Defending the King James Bible, or call us at 1-800-JOHN-10-9. Then have you ordered your Defined King James Bible? It's published by the Bible for Today. This is a Bible that has uncommon words in the King James defined accurately. In the footnotes, it's deluxe, genuine leather, choice of 12-point large print, 10-point medium print. Over 43,000 are in print and distributed worldwide. Why not order yourself a copy and one for your friends as well? The Defined King James Bible. And then get your free and postpaid book, 150 pages, I guess it is, 160 pages. And it's called Foes of the King James Bible Refuted by yours truly, the speaker. It's a $13 value, 9 plus 4 shipping and handling. It has a beautiful picture on the front, a knight with a drawn sword. It's black cover with red letters and yellow letters as well. It's Foes of the King James Bible Refuted. It's an answer we've been talking about on the broadcast these last few weeks. We'll continue for several months, I'm sure. It's an answer to the John Ankerberg Show, the telecast and the videos, where he has six men against the King James Bible, three men for it, and these are my comments. I have about 303 issues to deal with. Issue number 15 is up at the present time, and this is what we're saying on that particular issue. John Ankerberg said to Dr. Barker, who's an NIV man, the chairman of the NIV committee, quote, "And well, another 50 years, and the fact is, you will have superseded all the Bibles that have been sold in the last whatever number of years, 400 years from the time of 1611. That's from the script of John Ankerberg Show, page 3. What's my comment on that one? Well, as noted above, Kenneth Barker ranked out of the 9 total number of inches of the entire script, 4th. That's 76 inches out of a possible 656 inches. For 12% of the time, which translates into about 19 minutes out of the 160-minute total. Well, in another 50 years, this will not be the same version. The New International Version, in another 50 years, will have had 5 different distinct editions. Why do I say that? Well, according to Kenneth Barker's own testimony, on tape, I've heard it, every 10 years, the New International Version is going to change. It will not be the same thing. This will not be comparing apples with apples or bananas with bananas. It will be comparing grapes with figs or onions with potatoes. You cannot say that the same version will have sold many millions of copies because it will be a completely different version. Anyone can see if you take a Ford car that is say a 1945 model and you sell so many millions of those Ford cars, and then in 1955, 1965, 1995 you sell so many more millions of those models and you say, oh, we have sold so many millions of Fords. That's not true. But it's, well, it is true rather. Yeah, you can say that, but it's not the same model Ford at all. It's a different model every year. This is how it is with the New International Version. It's a different model every 10 years, according to Dr. Kenneth Barker's own testimony. So you cannot say that those statistics are going to be the same as applied to the King James Bible that has not changed and will not change from now until the next 50 years or until the Lord Jesus Christ will come. Well, issue number 16 out of 303, Dr. Barker of the NIV said this, quote, "John, I'm glad you mentioned that. It, that is the NIV, is the best-selling Bible." End of quote. That's from the script, John Ankerberg's script, page 3. Well, what's my comment on this one? Well, Kenneth Barker has the greatest number of inches of script space, more than any other guest so far. I'd say that John Ankerberg is leaning in favor of Dr. Barker. James White has about 6 inches of space. Dr. Strauss has about 4 inches. Dr. Gipp had about 6 inches of space. That is so far in the broadcast. But here, Dr. Barker has 11 full inches to talk about his point of view. Now, Kenneth Barker's total, as mentioned above, was 75 inches of script space, which is 12% of the time, or 19 minutes in all. Is this fair? Just simply add that we compared the number of inches of script. We have the script, and this is the way we made the book, Foes of the King James Bible Refuted. And we total the number of inches, and that's the way we estimated about how many minutes of time each of the speakers has spoken. And so far, he was let go. Now, remember last broadcast, we mentioned that Dr. Strauss, who stands, as I stand, strongly on the King James Bible and the text of Receptus that underlies it, takes my position almost identically. He was cut off by Kenneth Barker, wasn't allowed to finish what he had to say. But here, Kenneth Barker, cut off by John Ankerberg, rather, the host, but here Kenneth Barker goes on and on. Well, let's go to issue number 17 out of 303. Kenneth Barker said that the NIV had, quote, approximately 100 million NIV Bibles and New Testaments in worldwide circulation and use, end of quote, script page 3. Well, what's my comment on that one? Kenneth Barker said the NIV had sold 100 million Bibles and New Testaments. The King James Bible is the entire Bible, Genesis through Revelation. Here, Kenneth Barker is able to throw in the New Testament separately as well as the entire Bibles. This, again, does not compare apples to apples. And, of course, it's the wrong comparison. Well, issue number 18 out of 303. Kenneth Barker, again, repeated that the NIV was the best-selling Bible. That's the script, page 3. Well, let me comment on this. I dispute these statistics completely. I know there are many who have said that the New International Version is presently outselling the King James Bible. This has been disputed in David Clout's paper, O Timothy, for example. He said that the statistics that are used are simply from one distribution house, Spring Arbor, and do not consider other Bible distributors that are using and selling the King James Bible as well. Certainly it does not include the Bearing Precious Seed groups all over the country. They have their own giant web presses and print King James Bibles by the 100,000s each year, even millions. These Bibles are not sold in bookstores, but by the churches. Most of them are Baptist churches. And that's throughout the country, the Bearing Precious Seed. So I would dispute that the New International Version is the best-selling translation of the Bible today. I don't agree with it at all. Well, let's go to issue number 19 out of 303. I call this caption the NIV's Hebrew and Greek texts. This is important to see what texts they have. Kenneth Barker, the NIV chairman, said this, quote, "We based it," that is the NIV, "on the Masoretic or traditional Hebrew text in the Old Testament, and on what could be called an eclectic that you find in New Testaments," end of quote, script page number 3. Well, what's my comment on that one? Well, that's true. They most certainly did not base the NIV exclusively. Oh, excuse me, that's not true. It really is not true when he says he bases it on the Masoretic or traditional Hebrew text. They most certainly did not base the NIV exclusively on the Masoretic Hebrew text in the Old Testament. Yet this is what Dr. Barker is implying, if words mean anything. He said, "We based it," that is the NIV, "on the Masoretic or traditional Hebrew text in the Old Testament." That's what he said. He should have qualified that statement and told the truth about the NIV Old Testament text. He should have listed the other things in addition to the Masoretic text that were used, not simply and only and exclusively the Masoretic Hebrew text. Let me give you from the fifth printing, page 29 of our Defending the King James Bible, 19 other things that the New International Version has used in addition to the Masoretic Hebrew text. These are in the footnotes, right in any NIV that you can find. Number one, the Septuagint, which is the LXX, the Greek Old Testament. They use that instead of the Hebrew text many times. Number two, conjecture, for no reason given. Number three, they sometimes in the NIV use four. Sometimes the NIV uses a few Hebrew manuscripts. Number five, the NIV sometimes uses the Latin Vulgate. Number six, sometimes the NIV uses the Dead Sea Scrolls. Number seven, sometimes the NIV uses the Aquila. Number eight, sometimes the NIV uses the Samaritan Pentateuch. Number nine, Sometimes the NIV uses quotations from Jerome. Number 10, the NIV sometimes uses Josephus. Number 11, the NIV sometimes uses an ancient Hebrew scribal tradition. Number 12, the Bibliobreca or of Kittel or Stukatentia, the NIV sometimes uses. Number 13, the NIV sometimes uses a variant Hebrew reading in the margin. Number 14, the NIV sometimes uses words in the consonantal text divided differently. Number 15, the NIV sometimes uses Symmachus, which is a Greek Old Testament. Number 16, the NIV sometimes uses Theodotion, which is an Old Testament, an Old Testament in Greek. Number 17, the NIV sometimes uses the Targums. Number 18, the NIV sometimes uses the Juxta Hebraica of Jerome for the Psalms. Number 19, the NIV sometimes uses a different set of Hebrew vowels. Well, here are 19 different things used in the footnotes of the New International Version that are used to contradict the Masoretic traditional Hebrew text in the Old Testament. Now, according to Dr. Kenneth Barker, he says that's what they use, and he implies they use in the NIV the Masoretic traditional Hebrew text exclusively. Well, 19 things, different things in the footnotes that they correct and change the Hebrew from is not exclusive use of the Masoretic traditional Hebrew text. All these 19 things are found in my book, Defending the King James Bible, fifth printing, pages 29 to 31. I urge you to get a copy of this volume. We talked about it on the broadcast. Ask your bookstore to get it for you, or call us, collect, or direct, no charge. And we'll tell you how to receive it. Just call us at 1-800-JOHN-10-9. This statement by Dr. Barker is a falsification of the truth when he claims that his Old Testament, the NIV, New International Version, is based on the Masoretic or traditional Hebrew text. He should have said that 19 other things in addition to the Masoretic text were used in the Old Testament New International Version. Now, you can check this out yourself, if you wish, by simply looking at the Old Testament footnotes in the NIV. You'll find every one of the above 19 items mentioned somewhere from Genesis to Malachi. That's where I found them, right in the NIV. If Dr. Barker were patently honest and totally above board, he would have told the people the truth on that telecast. I'm sure that Kenneth Barker knows precisely the changes in the NIV has made in the Masoretic text of Hebrew. But he never said so. He never said so. He implied that the NIV has adhered strictly to the Old Testament Masoretic text. The question I have is, why did he not make this fact plain to those who listened? Is this not deceptive? Now that's my question. Is this not deceptive? Well, issue number 20 out of 303. Dr. Barker again says his New Testament NIV text is eclectic. Eclectic. That's from the script, page 3. What's my comment to this one? Well, Kenneth Barker said in the New Testament you have an eclectic text such as found in the United Bible Society's Greek text or the Nesselholland Greek text. Both of these have their roots in the Westcott and Hort false text of 1881. These erroneous Greek texts used by the NIV rely basically on B, the Vatican, and Aleph, the Sinai, manuscripts, possibly 43 others. How could the use of 45 manuscripts out of over 5,255 by any stretch of the imagination be called eclectic? Eclectic, the NIV has not taken something from all the manuscripts at all. That's what eclectic means. Ek means out from. Lectic comes from the Greek word kaleo and means to call. Eclectic means to call out from or to select from many things. Since when is that eclectic? I don't go along with this crazy eclectic use of their Greek text. It's almost pure manuscript B and Aleph, Vatican and Sinai. Using this Nestle-Aland United Bible Society Westcott and Hort text, the NIV made less use of less than 1% of the 45 manuscripts is less than 1%. By the same token, the NIV has denied over 99% of the evidence, 5,210 plus manuscripts. Now, this is not eclecticism at all. If it means anything, if that word means anything, to take from all, implying that they look at all the facts and take what they want, that is patently false. And Dr. Barker knows it, and yet did not correct it. Well, let's go on to issue number 21 out of 303. I label this, Does God Use and Bless Sin? Does God Use and Bless Sin? In issue 21, Dr. Barker gives a wrong reason for the NIV's success. He said God uses and blesses his NIV. That's from the script, page 3. Well, what's my comment to this? God does not use things that contradict his word. Don't drag God into the New International Version. I'm going to be very frank about this. I believe that the New International Version is one of the greatest perversions of our day. Granted, the Living Version is a greater perversion than the NIV, but the New International Version is pretty close to it. I examined closely every word of the NIV. It took 2 years and 8 months to go from Genesis to Revelation. I did a little bit each day. I found over 6,653 examples of dynamic equivalency that the NIV has used. I had to quit counting because my computer was filling up and I already had spent so much time, I didn't want to continue. But there are thousands and thousands of other examples of dynamic equivalency. Now, dynamic equivalency means basically three things. Number one, adding to the words of God. Number two, subtracting from the words of God. Or number three, changing the words of God in some other way. This research is available if you're interested in it. Call us or write us and ask how you can get BFT number 1749P. Number 1749P. 284 large pages in length altogether. Now my question, my friends, is this. How can the God of the Bible really bless the New International Version, which has violated his written word by its paraphrasing? God does not contradict himself. When God pronounces a curse upon those that add, subtract, or change his words, that very curse is on the New International Version because they have added, subtracted, and changed his words thousands of times. Now, men have taken it upon themselves to change God's words. It's not a translation. It's a paraphrase. Notice just three of the many verses. Deuteronomy 4 and verse 2. It says, Ye shall not add unto the word which I command you, neither shall ye diminish aught from it, that ye may keep the commandments of the Lord your God which I command you. Look at a second verse. Deuteronomy 12, verse 32. What things soever I command you, observe to do it. Thou shalt not add thereto, nor diminish from it. Look at the third verse. Proverbs 30 and verse 6. Add thou not unto his words, lest he reprove thee, and thou be found a liar. Now, I do not personally believe that God can bless that which is in direct disobedience of His Word. When God says, don't add, and you add, that's sin. When God says, don't subtract, and you subtract, that's sin. And God cannot bless sin. I dispute that completely. Well, let's go on to issue number 22 out of 303. My caption on this issue is, how literal are the NASV and the New King James Version, New American Standard and New King James? Kenneth Parker said that the King James, the New King James, and the New American Standard used a more literal or word-for-word approach to the translation task. This is from the script, page 3. I'm answering John Ankerberg's telecast and videos. We call it Foes of the King James Bible Refuted. It's yours for the asking. It's a book, 160 pages, I guess it is, $13 value. Yours for the asking. You can get it. But on issue 22, he said it's more literal. The King James, New King James, New American Standard, a more literal approach for the translation test. What's my comment? This is not true. That's the comment. The King James is more literal. That's no question about that. But the New King James is not a word-for-word or literal-type translation as much as the King James Bible itself. The New American Standard Version certainly is not a literal or word-for-word approach, as Kenneth Parker says. I made a verse-by-verse analysis of the New King James compared to the Hebrew and Greek that underlies our King James Bible. And I found over 2,000 examples of how the New King James added to God's words, subtracted from God's words, or changed God's words. Now, admittedly, this is not as bad as the New International Version, which had 6,653 dynamic equivalencies or additions, subtractions, and changes. But 2,000 is 2,000 more than I'd like to see. Now, that's the New King James that he says is more literal and a word-for-word approach. What about the New American Standard Version that he talks about here, saying it's a more literal or word-for-word approach? Well, that's not literal either. I made a verse-by-verse analysis of the New American Standard Version also. I found over 4,000 examples of how the New American Standard Version added to God's words, subtracted from God's words, or changed God's words in some other way. How can those translations be called literal or word for word? The King James Bible is the only English Bible that is truly literal or word for word, wherever possible. So I would dispute that completely. Let's go on to issue number 23 out of 303. And I put a caption on the top of this particular issue. And my caption on that one is as follows. NIV is no translation middle ground. The NIV is no translation middle ground. Now, why do I say it that explicitly? Kenneth Barker said that his NIV was a middle ground and a mediating translation between too literal or too free. He said it was a middle ground between the King James Bible and the Good News for Modern Man or the Living Version. End of quote from the script, page 3. Well, what's my comment to this one? The New International Version is not a middle ground between the Good News or Living Version and the King James Bible. As far as I'm concerned, the New International Version is just as free as a bird. It believes in paraphrase. It's not literal. This is why I couldn't say of adding or subtracting or changing God's words in some other way. The NIV is a long way from being a middle ground in translation. The New International Version is just more of the same, though admittedly not quite as bad as the Living Version. That's why issue number 24 out of 303. What do I call this? I call it the King James Bible and the New King James Version, the same Greek text? The question is, do they have the same Greek text, King James and New King James? Well, John Ankerberg said the New King James was based on the same Greek text as the 1611. That's from the script, page 4. Well, what's my answer to this one? Well, it's not completely true. That's my answer. I have found at least three examples of the New Testament in the New King James Version and their use of the Westcott and Hort type of text instead of the Textus Receptus. How many other examples of non-Textus Receptus Greek text used on the top of the pages? I cannot say. It's presumed if I found three, there might be many other examples. Certainly in the footnotes of the study edition of the New King James, there is a use of majority text citations, as well as the NU, National United Bible Society text. The New King James study edition notes in the back of the book make it clear that the editors and publishers do not take any stand on which text is the best, the text used in the top of the page, or the text referred to in the footnotes. This decision is left up to the readers. They can become their own textual critics. Well, time's up for now. Remember the words of our Lord Jesus Christ in John 10:9. He said, "I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture." Write us. Bible for Today, Collingswood, New Jersey. Call us on the order phone, 1-800-JOHN-10-9. Ask your bookstore for Defending the King James Bible and the Defined King James Bible. And don't forget to get your free copy of Foes of the King James Bible Refuted, 1-800-JOHN-10-9. Dr. D.A. Waite signing off and reminding you, you can have confidence in the King James Bible because the King James Bible is the Bible for today. So long till next broadcast. Don't miss it. Give us a toll-free call, 1-800-JOHN-10-9, or email bft@bibleforToday.org. Well, my friends, we're going to continue this Foes of the King James Bible Refuted. Next broadcast, these are important points on foes against our King James Bible that you should hear and listen to. See you next time, same station. Until then, so long. We now present the Bible for Today of the Air, heard each week at the same time and over the same station, sponsored by the Bible for Today Incorporated and the Dean Burgon Society, with international studios at 900 Park Avenue, Collingswood, New Jersey. This is Dr. D.A. Waite, Director of the Bible for Today, speaking. Welcome to weekly broadcast number 812. 812 weeks of weekly broadcasting, building Bible confidence. Confidence in the King James Bible, because the King James Bible is the Bible for today. We stand together with the Dean Burgon Society in defense of traditional Bible texts, including the traditional Masoretic Hebrew Old Testament text, the traditional received Greek New Testament text, and the traditional English text, the King James Bible. We're building Bible confidence. You can call us. Our order phone number is 1-800-JOHN-10-9. And the other things you can use is question and answer phone, 856-854-4452, or email bft@bibleforToday.org. We'd like to hear from you. We'd like you to get our book called Defending the King James Bible. Now in its 8th printing, 350 pages, hardback edition. Want to ask your bookstore to get Defending the King James Bible, or call us at 1-800-JOHN-10-9. Then have you ordered your Defined King James Bible, published with the Bible for Today? Uncommon words in the King James are defined accurately in the footnotes. It's deluxe, genuine leather, not another Bible like it in the world. Choice of 12-point large print, 10-point medium print. Over 43,000 are in print and distributed worldwide. Why not order your copy for yourself and your friends, the Defined King James Bible? And have you ordered a copy of the book that we've been talking about, Foes of the King James Bible Refuted? 156 pages, yours for the asking, $13 value. We've been talking about it, we'll continue to talk about this book the next months, I'm sure. But we are analyzing the John Ankerberg telecast and video where he had 6 anti-King James Bible people and 3 pro-King James Bible people on the broadcast, the telecast. And we're analyzing 303 of the problems and issues that they had and disputing them, and we call it foes of the King James Bible. Free and postpaid. Request your copy today. Call us at 1-800-JOHN-10-9. We'll send it out to you. All right, we're presently on issue number 25. Issue number 25 out of 303. John Ankerberg, you know, has six of these men that are against the King James Bible. The NIV man, the New American Standard Version man, New King James Bible man, James White, Dan Wallace, and of course John Ankerberg himself. Then he has three that are in favor of the King James on his broadcast. Issue number 25, John Ankerberg brought Dr. Arthur Farstad into the picture. Now he's representing the New King James Version. He's no longer with us. He's died now, but in the script, page 4, is where we come up in this particular point. As I said in the comment on this issue 25, at this point, Dr. Arthur Farstad is brought into the discussion. He got about 7 inches of space here. He has a lot of time for the presentation of his point, at least on this occasion. As noted above, he ranked 7th out of 9 in total number of inches in the entire script. That is 42 inches out of a possible 656 inches. That's 6% of the time, which translates into only about 10 minutes out of the 160-minute total. So that's Dr. Arthur Farstad. Let's go to the number 26 issue out of 303. And I caption that on top of that issue, the New King James Version is not the same Hebrew text as the King James Bible. Dr. Farstad said his New King James Version used the Masoretic Hebrew text and implied that it was the same text as that in use and used by the King James Bible. He said, quote, "There's not much controversy about that in the Old Testament," end of quote. From the script, page 4. Well, Arthur Farstad implied that the Masoretic Old Testament traditional Hebrew text of the New King James is the identical text to that used in the King James Bible. But if you read the preface of the New King James, you'll find that they did not use only the Masoretic traditional Hebrew text. They compare and use upon occasion the readings of the following text. Number one, the Latin Vulgate. Number two, the Septuagint, which is the Greek Old Testament. Number three, ancient versions. Number four, the Dead Sea Scrolls. Now, that's right in the New King James Version preface, page Roman numeral 6. He's also wrong when he said there's not much controversy about that. That is the Hebrew text in the Old Testament. My friends, there's a whirlwind of controversy about the Hebrew text on the part of the liberals, the new evangelicals, and even so-called fundamentalists. The latest publication, 1997, of the self-proclaimed fundamentalist Central Baptist Theological Seminary in Minneapolis, Minnesota, tells a different story. In the Bible version debate, this seminary takes the position that there are hundreds of errors in our present Masoretic traditional text. They do take an issue. It is a problem. Dr. Roy E. Beecham, who's a professor of that school, Central Baptist Seminary, takes up various arguments against perfect preservation of the Masoretic text. That's on page 14 of the Bible Versions debate. He speaks repeatedly of imperfect copies of the Hebrew Old Testament Masoretic text. I disagree with him completely in this view, but I cite this to show that Dr. Farstad is in error in his statement about the unity of belief on the Hebrew Old Testament Masoretic text. Well, issue number 27 out of 303, I title this issue Dynamic Equivalency, King James Bible versus others. Dynamic equivalency, the King James Bible versus others. Issue 27, Arthur Farstad accused the King James Bible of using dynamic equivalency with the expression in Matthew 27:44, where it says, "They cast the same in his teeth." Script, page 4. What's my comment on this? Well, "they cast the same in his teeth" is an expression that was used in 1611 that means the same thing as "they reviled him." The word is translated 10 times, the one that's used in the New Testament. 10 times, this word. In the Logos Bible computer program, for instance, they list "cast in the teeth" as one of the meanings of the verb used here. Now, the main thing is that even if you might concede that this is an example here, the King James Bible does not practice dynamic equivalence as a matter of policy, as do these other versions. This is an expression that was used in our King James Bible in 1611 to convey the meaning of reproach, to upbraid, or to revile. My research on Dr. Farstad's New King James Version is Bible for Today number 1442, BFT number 1442. I list over 2,000 examples of dynamic equivalency. And by dynamic equivalency, I mean adding to the words of God, subtracting from the words of God, or changing the words of God in some other way and manner. This false translation technique is a policy of the New King James Version in all of these places. Talk about dynamic equivalency. 2,000 examples is certainly not one or two that might be aimed at the King James Bible. My research on Dr. Wilkins' New Testament there, the New American Standard Version, rather, the entire Bible, is number 1594P. Number 1594P. For a gift, we have this listed. We list over 4,000 examples of dynamic equivalence. And so here's 2,000 examples of dynamic equivalence and 4,000 examples of dynamic equivalence. And here Arthur Farstad is comparing the King James Version versus others. My research on Dr. Barker's New International Version, the NIV of Kenneth Barker, I've compiled that in Bible for Today number 1749, and I found there over 6,653 examples of dynamic equivalence. Now, this includes a definite policy. It indicates clearly a definite policy favoring dynamic equivalence in all three of these versions, unlike the policy of the King James Bible, which was both verbal equivalence, that is, translating the words of Hebrew to English, and formal equivalence, keeping the forms of the words in Hebrew to English, Greek to English, wherever possible. And so you can't say if there's any comparison. Nobody can come up with 2,000 examples of adding, subtracting, or changing the words of God in the King James Bible. No one can come up to over 4,000 examples of addition, subtraction, or change in our King James Bible, like the NASB. And certainly no one can come up with over 6,653 examples plus of dynamic equivalency, adding, subtracting, and changing in the James Bible as they've done in the NIV. Well, let's go on to issue number 28 out of 303. I title this "The New King James Version and Dynamic Equivalency." Arthur Farstad stated of the New King James Version, he's the one in charge of it, quote, "We don't ever do it that is use dynamic equivalency where it isn't needed. We don't ever do it where it isn't needed, dynamic equivalency." What's my comment on this? Well, it's simply not true. Let's just look at a few examples. In Leviticus 8, verse 23, the last part, the King James Bible, and the Hebrew says, "Moses took of the blood," end of quote. Very simple. What does the New King James Version say? Quote, "He took some of its blood," end of quote. Wait a minute. Moses took of the blood. He took some of the blood. This is dynamic equivalence. changing a noun to a pronoun. God said Moses, not he. Is Arthur Farstad lying to say that this is necessary? He says it's only where it's needed. That's all we use, only when it's needed. I found over 2,000 examples in the New King James Version, as mentioned above, where the editors either added, subtracted, or changed in some other way the words of God. And I don't believe they're needed in any one of these changes. Simply not needed. He says, oh, just where it's needed. Let me give you another example. In Leviticus 8:15, the last part of it, again, the King James Bible and the Hebrews say, Moses took the blood. Well, what does the New King James Version say? In dynamic equivalent fashion, it says, he took the blood. It is not he. The Hebrew says Moses. Again, the New King James Version changes Moses to he for no good reason whatsoever, as far as I'm concerned. How can Arthur Farstad say that the New King James does not use dynamic equivalency where it isn't needed, and only when it is needed? Rather than giving additional specific examples, why don't I just give you some of the totals for the New King James Version? The New King James Version adds to God's words 63 times. That is, it adds adjectives, adds adverbs, adds nouns, adds prepositional phrases, adds pronouns, adds verbs, and miscellaneous things. 63 times. And I don't believe any of them are needed. Let me continue. It changes God's words 856 times. Did you get that? 63 times it adds words that are not in the Hebrew or Greek. It changes God's words in some other way 856 times. It changes adjectives. It changes adverbs. It changes clauses. Pardon my repetition and reiteration and talking about these different parts of speech. I'm an English teacher, or was at least, for 19 years, School District of Philadelphia. But 856 times, the New King James Version adds either adjectives or adverbs. It changes clauses. It changes interjections, nouns, phrases, plurals, prepositional phrases, prepositions, pronouns, spellings, the subject, theological terms, the verb, and miscellaneous things. Now that's the changing in some other way. It suggests the use of a non-Masoretic text in the Old Testament 48 times. You remember, they were boasting about using the Masoretic text, and I said they don't always use it. Here's a total of my research. I came up with 48 times when they suggested in the Old Testament, the New King James Version, don't use the Hebrew. Use something else. Now, it suggests the non-use of the text Receptus in the New Testament 772 times. In other words, in the New Testament text Receptus, remember, they said that, as John Ankerberg said earlier, oh, the New King James Version uses the same text as the King James, the text Receptus. Well, I told you there were at least three times where I found they used the Westcott and Hort type of text, not a text Receptus text, but in the footnotes of the study edition, there's a total of 772 times when the footnotes say, don't use the Textus Receptus, it's not right. Change it in some other way, either from the National United Bible Society text or the so-called majority text. That's a lot of times. The New King James Version also subtracts from God's words a total of 295 times. That includes omitting of adjectives, adverbs, conjunctions, interjections, nouns, nouns for deity, prepositional phrases, pronouns, subjective mood, and verbs. I have a total of 2,034 examples of dynamic equivalence in the New King James Version where it isn't needed. and the evidence is found in our BFT number 1442 on these things. Let's just recapitulate. He says they don't use dynamic equivalency unless it's needed. They add to God's word 63 times. They change God's words 856 times. They suggest a non-Masoretic Hebrew Old Testament text 48 times. They suggest a non-text receptus New Testament text 772 times. They subtract God's words 295 times. Total, 2,034 examples of dynamic equivalence where it isn't needed. Now let's look at some examples of adding nouns for deity. They say, oh, just when it's needed. That's all Arthur Farstad says. In Job 24:22, the Hebrew clearly says, he draweth. He draweth. In the New King James, he is changed to God. God draws. They're adding God's name when God's name is not in the Hebrew text. Is that dynamic equivalence needed? Is that necessary or needful to add God's name when God's name is not there? No, this is an error. It's not necessary. Let me give you another example. In Acts 7 and verse 5, the Greek text clearly says, he gave him. What does the New King James Version say? God gave him. Now, God is not there in Acts 7 verse 5. There's no manuscript that says God in Acts 7 verse 5, but the New King James Version adds the word. Now the New American Standard Version, the NIV, do not add God's name in this verse. They're even more strict than the New King James in Acts 7 verse 5. They don't put God in there, they just say he gave him. Now the New King James Version is even worse than the other two at this point. The same in Lamentations chapter 3 and verse 28, where the Hebrew clearly says, he hath borne, he hath borne. The New King James Version said, God has laid, adding God's name where it isn't there. Lamentations 3:28. Look at Job 9 and verse 4, where the Hebrew clearly says, he is wise. The New King James says, God is wise. Now, this is error. This is not necessary or needed. God or Elohim is not there. As in Acts 7, verse 5 above, the New American Standard Version and the New International Version do not add God's name in this verse. Again, the New King James Version is even worse than the other two at this point. The same is found in Job 15, verse 15. Or the Hebrew and the King James Bible both say, he putteth no trust. New King James Version says, God puts no trust. Again, the New King James Version adds the name of deity or God. As far as I'm concerned, this is taking the name of the Lord thy God in vain. Exodus 20, verse 7. Deuteronomy 5, verse 11. As far as I'm concerned, the same in Romans chapter 3 and verse 29. The King James Bible says, not also of the Gentiles. The New King James says, not also the God of the Gentiles. Again, this is adding the name of God where it does not belong. Genesis and Exodus and Romans here, 3, verse 29. Now, is Dr. Farstad's statement true or false when he said, quote, we don't ever do it, that is, use dynamic equivalence, where it isn't needed? Is it needed to add the name of God when the name of deity is not in the Hebrew or Greek texts? I don't believe it's needed. In fact, it's forbidden by God himself to add to his words. Tremendous error in addition or subtraction or changing God's words. Let's go on to issue number 29 out of 303. I title this the King James Bible Minutes. Were they in Latin or in English? Arthur Farstad stated of the meeting of the King James Bible translators. He says, quote, "The meetings, the journal meetings, were taken in Latin. They spoke in English, but the notes were in Latin." It's from the script, page 5. What's my answer to that? Well, I have what remains of John Boy's notes that he took at the final revising committee's work in 1611 King James Bible. He was the secretary of the 1611 Translation Committee, John Boyce, B-O-I-S. The notes are in English, with only a few citations from Latin. If you'd like to buy a copy of those notes, you can get them from the Bible for Today. It's BFT number 2326. Now, these are the only notes that remain of the 1611 Translations Committee. I don't know where Dr. Farstad got his mistaken belief that the notes were in Latin, when in fact the only notes of the secretary, John Boyce, that remain after having been lost for 300 years are in English. So I guess it's a mystery, isn't it? Let's go on to issue number 30 out of 303. I caption this, "What percent of Greek texts are the same for all?" What percent of the Greek texts that would be in the New Testament are the same for all? Kenneth Parker said this, quote, "All translations today translate the same Greek text over 98% of the time. That is a fact. It's been well documented by Dan Wallace and by others." End of quote. That's from the script of the John Ankerberg telecast, page 5. What's my answer to this? Well, it's a false statement. It's a false statement. What Kenneth Parker of the NIV committee is saying is that the Greek text of the New Testament that underlies our King James Bible is almost the same as the Greek text that underlies the new perversions of the New Testament. By their use of, quote, over 98%, which means less than 2%, they're saying the differences are so slight that you shouldn't even talk about them, much less worry about them. Let me give you some statistics. In my book, which I'd like you to get, Defending the King James Bible, call us, I'll tell you how to get your copy, 350 pages, hardback edition. Call us at 1-800-JOHN-10-9. In the foreword of that book, Defending the King James Bible, page 11, Roman numeral 11 in the fifth printing, you'll see a chart that shows that the Text Receptus has 140,521 Greek words. The Westcott and Hort text, and for all practical purposes, also the Nestle-Aland, the United Bible Society's text, changes the Text Receptus that underlies the King James Bible in 5,604 places in the New Testament. These changes include 9,970 Greek words. Now, the 9,970 Greek words could mean either adding, subtracting, or changing the Greek words in some other way. Well, this is about 15.4 Greek words per page on the average. Now, this is 7% of the Greek words one way or another. This change, 7%. This means that these two Greek texts agree only 93% of the time, not less than 98% of the time. Now, if you put all the changes that are made in these new versions, at least the Westcott and Hort text, which is basically followed today, if you put them all on consecutive pages, one after another, you come up with 45.9 pages of differences in the Greek New Testament text between the Westcott and Hort Greeks and that of the Text Receptus that underlies our King James Bible. Now, these statistics were derived from my own analysis, counting them up, personally, of the 5,604 places in the Westcott and Hort Greek text which differed from the Text Receptus. I used Dr. Frederick Scrivener's Greek New Testament, which indicated the Westcott and Hort changes in bold typeface. By the way, that's available. We have reprinted that. The Dean Burgon Society has reprinted Dr. Scrivener's Greek text. We call it the Scrivener's Annotated Greek Text. Enlarge the Greek. It's very easy reading. You can get it. It's BFT number 1670. BFT number 1670, either in hardback or genuine leather. I counted the bold typefaces, and I arrived at 9,970 Greek words in the footnotes that differed in some way by counting the number of words in Dr. Scribner's footnotes that Dr. Westcott and Hort inserted or subtracted or changed in some other way from the text receptor's readings. The reader is invited and the listener is invited to count these words for himself and ascertain if 5,604 is correct and 9,970 is correct as well. Well, time's up for now. Remember the words of our Lord Jesus Christ in John 10:9. He said, "I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he should be saved, shall go in and out and find pasture." Write us. Bible for Today, Collingswood, New Jersey. Call us on the order phone, 1-800-JOHN-10-9. Ask your bookstore for Defending the King James Bible and the Defiant King James Bible, or call us 1-800-JOHN-10-9. Don't forget to get your Foes of the King James Bible Refuted, 160 pages, free and postpaid, 1-800-JOHN-10-9. Dr. D.A. Waite, signing off and reminding you, you can have confidence in the King James Bible because the King James Bible is the Bible for today. So long till next broadcast. Don't miss it. We'd like to hear from you. Why not give us a toll-free call right now, 1-800-JOHN-10-9, or email bft@bibleforToday.org. Well, my friends, we're going to continue to talk about the foes of the King James Bible refuted. It's the analysis of the John Ankerberg telecast and video, and we want you to get it. Stay tuned. These are important topics, important subjects. We want you to hear them and understand them. See you next time. Same time, same station, next week. Until then, so long.